So are you listening? Are you really listening? People say that, don't they? I just said it. People say that to other people. Has your wife or husband, girlfriend, boyfriend, parent ever said that to you? Are you listening? I'm usually not when that question is raised. Normally it's raised for a reason, because I'm typing on the computer or I'm looking the other way or I'm listening to another conversation somewhere else, some other family member. Are you listening? That's what this text is all about. And what we're going to look at together this morning. All of us need to listen carefully to instructions. If there's a fire, I hope you read on the back that you need to make your way to the muster point there in the corner of the car park. You need to listen. You need to retain that information. There are often instructions we receive as husbands, sometimes wives, about what to do with the dinner. Put the meat in the oven, you know, preheat to 200 first and put them in. That's a very complex process, isn't it? We have to remember two things at least. We need to listen to instructions. It might save the dinner, it might save our life. I used to think that the instructions on aeroplanes were a waste of time. You know, the stuff where they're saying, you know, the exits and the slide will open, doors will open automatically, and all that kind of stuff. And you think, what a waste of time that is, because we're never going to land on water. And then I watched the film about the landing on the Hudson River. Anyone seen that film? It's a really fun film. So the Tom Hanks is the pilot. They were fun in the sense of fun to watch, not obviously fun to experience it. But and they proper land on water, and those play slides that they have to slide out of, like sort of fun park slides. They actually use them, and so now I listen to the instructions and think, okay, where are the exits? Maybe I will get to use those slides if, in God's mercy, I manage to land on a river. So instructions are important. We're in a school, so I thought we'd have a look at... you might have to advance for me. I'm not sure if this is working. Oh, so it's another battery flat morning, but we can't run and get some more batteries this morning because we're not in our building unless someone wants to run down. So yeah, could you give us the next slide? That would be cool. Thank you. So we're in a school, so I thought we'd do a bit of learning. There's some words. Anyone want to pronounce any of the words on there for me? Acoustike, yeah? Kithara, and then below it is just the easier one, akuo. Do you know what the top one means, somebody who's really bright? Pardon? Well, no. No. So I'll give you a clue. Matthew Whitley has one. What kind of guitar? Acoustic guitar. So the top one is acoustic guitar, and then the bottom one is the word for listen. These are Greek words that are in the Bible as it was originally written, which are all over this text that we're looking at. 10 or so times this word appears in some form or other, sometimes translated listen, sometimes translated hearing. It's basically the one word of the section. Of course, it's the word from which we get our word acoustics and acoustic guitar and so forth. It's a big theme of this section, listening to the word that saves. Luke has a great interest in salvation. How do people get rescued from sin and from Satan and from death and disease? How do they get rescued? Well, it's through Jesus. How do you get connected with Jesus, especially now because he's not here? You get connected with Jesus through listening to his word. And this kind of bookends for this section. At the beginning, we have Jesus traveling around from one town or village, proclaiming the good news with people accompanying him, with a little crowd of people accompanying him. And they're his new family. And then the other bookends, that's at the front. And then at the end, we have Jesus defining his new family. Verse 21, my mothers and brothers are those who hear God's word, kue, hear God's word and put it into practice. They're my new family. But first we have the well-known parable of the sower. So if we can have the next slide and just use your initiative, put whatever next one on you feel like might be right at any time. First of all, we've got the story of the sower from verses 4 through to 15. First of all, there's the story itself from verses 4 through to 8. I heard this week of someone who met someone who said, they were a Christian person, they said, I never let my children read fiction. I never let my children read fiction. because there's enough wonderful stories in the world that are true. Well, it's kind of a nice idea, but she may not have read much of the Bible, this person, because the Bible's got loads of fiction in it. Not just from Jesus, but especially from Jesus, but lots of parts of the Old Testament are stories, acted out things to make a point. Visions, which are not literally true. They're literally depicting something that's true, but they're not actually true. So the Bible's all about stories, and Jesus tells amazing stories as well. He's a great storyteller. And in his case, his stories always have a purpose, because that's the genius of good stories. When you read a brilliant book or when you watch a brilliant film, it's not so much the storyline itself, although that is often fun. It's what it tells you, how it resonates with life. And that's what Jesus' story does here. It resonates with life, but makes a particular point about life and a particular point about listening. So he describes a very typical Middle Eastern scene. The scene that would have been in the UK, in fact, quite a few years ago, where there was scattering of seed and there was some wastage. It happens now. You have the machines that seed drill and then sow seeds. They have a sort of a funnel, a spout that comes out, and the seeds that are scattered by this machine that's going like this. And you get wastage as the tractors turn corners and it goes flying off in all directions sometimes. Maybe not so much wastage as here, which would have been the scene that Jesus is thinking about, where someone has a bag of some sort and they grab with their hands some seed and they scatter it on the earth. And the sower here in this story gets very disappointing, or gets mixed results, gets some disappointing results. There's the path where the birds eat. There's the limestone rock where the seeds can't take root and don't survive. There's thorns that grow up, apparently, very quickly, 6-foot-high thorns. You imagine corn on the cob that's grown quite a bit in the UK around here. That sort of height, thistles growing very quickly. That's what happens to some of the seed. But then there's a bumper crop as well. You see that in verse 8? Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. A good crop in those days in that place would have been 10 times what was sown. So here we got a bumper crop, 100 times what was sown. So although there are some disappointing results with the seed that was wasted, there is a massive harvest as well. And that's all part of the story. And the conclusion that Jesus makes, and it's obviously important because he cries it out, he calls it out. See that at the end of verse 8? When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, "let him hear" sounds a bit kind of passive, doesn't it? What he's actually saying is, you better listen. You better listen. You really must listen. You've got to listen. That's what Jesus is saying. You must listen to the word of God. We know that's what it means because of verse 11. The seed is the word of God. But before he talks about the meaning, in verses 9 and 10, he talks about the mystery of not hearing. It's next bullet, I think. Verses 9 and 10. The parable is told publicly, and the disciples ask an explanation. And Jesus, before he gives the explanation, says, "I want to tell you something about why I'm speaking in this parable in public, but giving you the meaning in private." And it's connected with this. Jesus says, "I'm speaking parables not just to illustrate something. I'm speaking parables to make a mystery of some things." That's what he says. And what it is, it's a sign of judgment on those who are rejecting me. There are already, in Jesus' time, those who are rejecting him, those who are not listening to him. Think about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They're trying to catch him out. They're about to start plotting to kill him. So they are rejecting him already. And what Jesus does, he quotes a bit of the Old Testament, where in the middle of verse 10, he says, "Though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." Basically, if you could buy two books this month, and they were Bible books, you'd buy the book of Isaiah and the book of Luke, because Luke's always quoting Isaiah. I think pretty much every week I've made some reference so far to the book of Isaiah, and he's doing it here. He's actually quoting from Isaiah 6. And Isaiah receives a vision from the Lord. But as he receives that vision at the beginning of that book, he also receives words of judgment on Jerusalem for rejecting him. There has been ongoing, persistent, willful rejection of his rule and his will. And part of Isaiah speaking to them will be judgment on them. And part of God's judgment is that they will not really be able to, not that they won't be able to hear, but they won't be able to perceive what Isaiah is saying. And so he quotes Jesus quotes from Isaiah 6, where amazingly Isaiah sees a vision of Jesus, actually. We know that from what Jesus says in John's Gospel. So Isaiah sees this amazing vision, but he's then told, you're going to have this amazing job, you're going to speak for me, but no one's going to listen. They're going to be hearing, they're going to be seeing, but they won't understand, and they won't really see. And so when Jesus quotes these words, he's pulling back all that Old Testament history and saying, this is what it's like now for people who reject me. If you go on rejecting me, eventually I will harden your heart and you won't be able to hear anymore. God is acting as a consequence of their sin, not the cause of their sin. So that's a very serious word before he then goes on to make the explanation. Why does Luke give that to us? He's not just teaching us a bit of theology. Why does he tell us that? Well, it's because of this. It's a warning to us to make sure that we really do listen. In God's goodness, we're about to have the explanation. God has revealed the explanation to us of the parable. So we have got to listen to what God's got to say. So then we have the meaning of the parable, verses 11 through 15. Jesus tells his disciples the meaning, so we don't have to guess. The seed is the word of God. See that in verse 11. The path is like a hard heart where the seed doesn't take root. People hear the word of God. People hear what God has to say for us through the Bible, and they have hard hearts. They don't want to let it penetrate at all. It's not quite the same thing because we weren't speaking the word of God, but when we went out into Hayward's Heath yesterday, there were lots of people who were willing to engage in conversation, but there were some, I think there was one in particular that went, no, no, like this, and gestures and lots of stuff like that, and various other people who, according to the guy who was training us, Jeffrey, there are people who've actually run away, literally run away down the street. There were various people who gathered their bags up and said they had somewhere to go yesterday, but then returned to the same place. So that was all very interesting. That's a hard heart, not wanting to listen to the word of God. So the seed doesn't take root, and the devil comes along and distracts you with life, takes the seed away. That will be his job, that will be his delight, to make sure you can't even remember what was said, get you distracted with all kinds of other things. Then there is the rocky ground, and Jesus says that's talking about people who hear the word of God, who hear it, and they seem really pleased to hear it, and it seems like they actually believe it, but it's just on the outside. It hasn't taken root in their heart. And when life gets tough, they give up. It's not really in their heart. It's kind of somewhere else. It's in their mind. It's kind of external. It's a kind of habit thing. It's a thing they kind of like, but it's not in their heart. And then there are the thorns, where again, the seed germinates. There seems to be spiritual interest. But the worries, the cares, the anxieties, the riches, the pleasures distract and choke. But Jesus says there are some. Verse 15, the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. There are some who cling on to the word. There are some who keep going. There are some with good hearts, whose hearts really receive the word, and they bear the fruit of repentance and faith, and they grow as Christians. They keep going. Jesus said there'll be people like that, and there'll be lots of them. So there are two things to learn from this, I think. There are lessons for sowers, and there are lessons for listeners. First of all, there are lessons for sowers. We, as Christians, sow the word of God. We speak the word of God. We do it in all kinds of contexts. We tell people about Jesus. We declare him here this morning. We're talking to people about Jesus. We speak it in the classes that we lead, in the groups that we lead, in the small Bible studies we do. We speak it as we witness to our friends and family and explain to them the gospel and our relationship with Jesus. We are speaking the word of God. We are sowers. What should you expect when you sow the word of God? What should you expect? Well, the answer Jesus gives us is variable results. That's what we're to expect. Variable results. Different kinds of results. Expect there will be people who have hard hearts. It's not a surprise that there will be people who run down the street. Expect that to happen sometimes. Expect that there will be some who make a promising start, but when some difficulty comes in, when there's a challenge, when the person needs to take up their cross and actually give up something for Jesus, they might give up themselves. Don't be surprised. There may be others who make a promising start and you think, wow, these are great Christians. And then life just seems to intervene and you think, what happened there? They seem to be so keen. Don't be surprised. Be realistic about that. Expect variable results. Of course, when that happens, we don't say, well, they're just that kind of seed, so we give up. That's just stretching the parable too far. When that happens, we urge, we encourage, we invite, we keep on speaking the word of God to people. So we don't give up, but we are realistic that sometimes happens. So be realistic, but look, be expectant. It's the thing that often gets missed in this parable. There's a bumper crop. We need to get a little bit into all the different kinds of not listening, but you also need to get into the big kind of listening to say there will be a bumper crop. Be hopeful. Be generous with giving out the word of God, because guess what? People get saved. Many people will hear. Many of them will be saved. Pray for that. Expect blessing. This is not teaching that it's going to be easy. It's not teaching that it's going to be instant. It's not teaching that every time we speak, someone will get saved. Wrong side, sorry. It's not teaching that. But look, it is teaching that people will get saved. And we need to expect that. I've got a question. Answer it in your head right now. Did you think anyone would get saved this morning? Okay, I heard you. You said no. Did I think anyone would get saved this morning? Yes, because I read that text. So I thought I better hope that someone gets saved this morning. You see, I'm being extreme and a bit stupid, but you know what I mean. Do we expect people to get saved? Do we expect a bumper harvest? Do we expect the church to double in size? Why wouldn't it? Bumper crop, 100 times. Where's that going to come from? It's come from us lot, sowing the word. Us lot wandering around Hayward's Heath, to a bunch of people, some of whom don't want to listen, but some of whom do. There was someone who got prayed with yesterday. There was some people who said they would go home and pray. We gave Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel to somebody, and maybe some other gospels. We gave welcome information about the church. We went out and sowed. You have friends who you speak to. You have family who you speak to about the gospel. And some of them are going to get saved. So expect it, pray for it, look for it. And there are people who come along, like some of you this morning, who are not Christians at this point in time. You need to listen to the word of God and respond. And I expect you to do that sometimes. Come on. This is what we expect. This is what we pray for. This is what we look for. Because Jesus gives us that promise and that encouragement. There will be variable results, but there will be harvest. Expect blessing. Expect many to be saved. And pray for it. As you're brushing your teeth, I hope you did brush your teeth this morning, on your way to church to meet together with God's people, I hope you pray, Lord, save somebody this morning. I want you to speak to me when I come to church. I want to have a good time. I want to praise God with God's people, but I want you to save somebody this morning. Why won't you do it? Please, Lord, why don't you pray that next Sunday morning? You can pray it in between as well, if you like. So there are lessons for sowers, but of course, there are lessons for listeners here. Jesus gives this parable particularly for his disciples and for us to understand what happens when we speak the word of God, but he also gives it for the listeners. Otherwise, why would he cry out? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so there is a cry to everybody this morning, whether you would classify yourself as a Christian or not. There's a cry going out from Jesus that says, listen. Listen. Maybe you're not a Christian yet, and this word is for you to say, listen, let the word of God penetrate your heart. Listen to what God has to say. Listen to the good news that Jesus proclaims, that anybody under the curse of sin, like we all are, anybody under the curse of sin can be released, can be redeemed, can be pardoned, will be forgiven, will be given new life, will be given an entrance into the new heavens and the new earth. That is the good news of the gospel. Listen. Listen to the declaration that it's by the cross that Jesus saves sinners like us and gives us new life. Listen to what Jesus has to say. That he comes to give his life as a ransom for many, for you. Put your trust in Jesus. Let the word of God penetrate your heart. Don't be like the people in Isaiah's day who for so long covered their ears that in the end God said, okay, be deaf. Don't do that with God's word. This might be your last chance this morning to hear God's word and to put your faith in Jesus. And don't have a hard heart, but also don't just listen superficially. Let the word of God dig deep and take root in your heart. As life goes on, you will face sickness and illness and death and disappointment and aging. You will face people being horrible to you. You will face all kinds of disappointments, things that you expected to turn out one way and they turn out the other. You will face struggles in relationship. You may even face persecution. What will help you in that? It's if the word of God has taken root in your heart. Now, what Jesus is not saying is you need to be like a real clever boffin. You need to know loads of Bible knowledge. No, he's not saying that. What he's saying is let the word of God take root in your heart. Read it. Reflect on it. Let it affect your affections. Because when trouble comes, you will know I have a sovereign God who rules over everything with love and everything he does is good. But I live in a broken world where these things will happen to me. But I have a hope that will sustain me through those things. And God in Jesus experienced worse than that. This is stuff that will take root in our heart and will help us in the midst of all that suffering. Let it take root in your heart. Christian, let the word of God take root in your heart. Don't be superficial about it. You need theology, not academic theology, practical theology. What's God like? What's life like? What am I like? What has God promised? What has God not promised? We need to know these things. We need to feel these things. But also, don't let the thorns choke you. Don't let the thorns choke you. If you think we're the only generation that might have got a bit distracted with busyness and riches and pleasure and anxiety, we're not. Jesus is speaking just those same ideas in this parable, isn't he? Don't let those things choke you. Of course, we do live very busy lives, but this is not new. But Jesus is warning us against it. He's saying, don't let those things choke you. Don't let anxiety choke you. If you're always stressed about something, if you're always so busy that you haven't got time to listen to God, then something is choking you. There's some weed that you need to pull up in your life. Don't let that choke you, says Jesus. Don't let riches choke you. Are you rich? That's another no that just went on in your head. Are you rich? Are you worried about the riches you have? Are you worried that you don't have enough riches? Are you worried that you might lose the riches you have? Are you poor but desperately trying to get rich? Jesus says this is going to choke the life out of you. Pull up the weeds. Your life doesn't exist. It doesn't consist. It's not about what you own. It's about who you know. Pleasure. Whether you want to party. Do people still party? I don't know. whether you want to party, whether you want to visit all the countries in the world, whether you have a bucket list that kind of starts at age 18 that you want to kind of work through for the rest of your life, whether you want to make sure that your children don't miss out on one good experience. They need to experience everything that is possible for a child of their particular age to experience. They need to learn every skill. They need to go to every club. They need to have every possible friend. That's just getting bound up in pleasure seeking for yourself or for your kids. And Jesus says, this will choke your spiritual life. Be like a great 6-foot weed, stopping the light get into your life. And Jesus warns that that's possible. So you need to be those who really listen. It's not that you won't have anxieties. It's not that you won't have some wealth. It's not that you won't have stuff to do. It's not that you won't sometimes have a busy life. But Jesus is saying those things can come so large, become so large and dominate, and you at times will need to get rid of them. You will need to change something structurally in your life sometimes because it's all getting too much. None of us want to do that. None of us want to take a different job or have a different lifestyle or stop doing something. But sometimes, rather than just keep going and saying, well, I'll start listening to God's word when I get a bit older or when the kids get a bit older or when I have kids or something like that, or when I get to a new different house or when I retire. You can always say there will be some moment in the future, but sometimes God says to you, you need to sort it out now. You need to sort it out now. You need to restructure your life now so you're not choked spiritually. So this great parable about how we listen. Sowers, be realistic, but expectant. Listeners, make sure you listen. Be the good soil. Have a good and noble heart that wants to listen to the word of God. And what the promise is that as we listen, then God will bless us. And something of that comes out in the next parable. So we've had the sower, and next we have the light. And that's in verses 16 through to 18. Jesus gives another illustration. He's talking about an oil lamp here. And he says, if you have an oil lamp, don't hide it. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? If you have a lamp, you don't want to put it under the bed or under some other kind of cover. You use the light for yourself and for everyone else. And what's really interesting is how he applies it. See that verse 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Now, probably if you've heard this parable before, you think it's talking about, yeah, I need to, if I've got the gospel, I need to tell everybody else. This is my light shining out. He doesn't say that, does he? What does he say? He says, be careful how you listen. And so the parable must be talking this particular one. It's used a bit differently, I think, later on in Luke's gospel. But here, I think it must be saying, I, Jesus, am the light of the world. I need to be used for the purpose intended. My word needs to be used for the purpose intended, which is to illuminate you and everybody else. So it is talking about how we want to bring the light to the world, but it starts with listening to Jesus ourselves. And what Jesus says that as we do that, then more will be given to us. Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the light. Jesus brings everything out into the light. See that verse 17. There is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. What's he saying? I am the light of the world. I bring God's word. I bring all the darkness out into the open so you can see what's real and what's not, what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's false. I am the light in that sense. Use me to illuminate the world and yourself. And as you do that, I'm going to bless you. To those who've been given, much more will be given. To those who think they know it all and don't need Jesus, your hearts are going to get darker and darker. But for those who accept Jesus and want to bring Jesus' word to the world, then I'm going to give you more and more. And I think that's what the parable is about. Use the light, use the gospel light to light your way. Use the gospel light to light the way for others. And finally, the new family. Finally, the new family. Verses 19 through 21. There's a big crowd pressing in on Jesus. And so when his mother and brothers arrive, some of his family, they come to see him. Perhaps his dad is not alive by this time. That's what most people think. But they're not able to get near because of the crowd. There's a whole load of people pressing in. And what Jesus does in answering, he uses it as a learning exercise. He's told that his mothers and brothers are here. His mother and brothers are here. And he says, verse 21, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Jesus is not being rude about his family. Most of them, as far as we know, became believers, followers of Jesus eventually. Probably Luke used Mary for a lot of the material for putting his gospel together. But he's using it to make a really important point, to say the family is the family of God. God places us in families, so mothers and fathers and husbands and wives are important. It's a covenant for life, for the security of our children. So God loves families, but the family is the family of God. Who's in the family of God? Is it religious people? Is it relatives of religious people? Is it relatives or close friends of Jesus? Is it clever people? No, Jesus says it's really simple. My mother and brothers, in other words, my real family, are those who hear God's word, who hear the gospel, who listen to what's said now in the Bible for us, who listen to that and put it into practice. It goes so deep in their hearts that they want to do it. That's what that expression is. Put it into practice is just literally do it. They hear the word and they do it. They obey the gospel. A bit like Jesus' parable. You remember the parable about the wise and the foolish builders? Who's the wise builder? It's the guy who builds on the rock. What's that like? It's like someone who hears God's word and puts it into practice. Jesus says, the wise builder hears my word and puts it into practice. The family member hears my word and puts it into practice. And that points in two directions for us, really. It points out as a challenge to us to say, are you this morning in the family of God? Have you listened to the gospel message? Have you listened to the good news about Jesus and acted it out? Have you done it? Have you said, I'm sorry for my sins? Have you put your faith in Jesus? Have you acted it out? Are you continuing to put it into practice? Well, then you're in the family of God. So it points that way to challenge us. But it's a wonderful point of comfort for you this morning. Anybody who hears God's word and says, I want to do it, I want to follow Jesus, you're in the family of God. You may have difficult family background. You may have been rejected by your family. You may come from a broken family. You may come from a wonderful family. But whatever your circumstances, you're in the family of God. You're in the family of God. You're related to Jesus. He gives you that promise, that invitation to be part of his family. It's always a wonderful sight for me to be standing here, and particularly when you guys are all standing up and singing, and you get the pleasure of this end because you can't always hear each other. But from here, you pretty much hear everybody apart from yourself singing. And it's a wonderful experience. And it's wonderful to look out on the church and to say, this is my family. Wow, God is so good. This is not just a bunch of people who turned up to listen to something for a few minutes. This is not just a bunch of people with a common interest. This is my family. I've got a big family. I've got a variable family. I've got a family of all shapes and sizes, all kinds of temperaments. I've got a family that's a little bit difficult sometimes, and I'm one of them, but I've got a family. I'm part of this family because I'm part of the family of Jesus, and they're part of the family of Jesus too. So that's what this section is all about. Listening and becoming part of the family of God, part of the family of Jesus. Are you listening? You said yes at the beginning. Are you listening? Are you really listening? Is it going deep into your heart? Are you illuminated by the word of Jesus? Are you using that to light your way? Are you part of the family of God? God grant us to all be part of that wonderful family, listening, learning, growing. Amen.